Hey there, all you guys and gals, you hip cats, cool kittens, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. This is Tales from the Flip Side on the Diesel Punk Podcast, the voice of Diesel Punk, and I am your host, the King of Swing, the Tower of Power, the monolith of machismo, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny. And we are coming to you live from the Houdini Room at the Casa de Cool in fabulous Viva Nash Vegas. I want to talk about a couple of our sponsors real quick. Returning to the show this week is Rather Be Playing. With so many ways for gamers to play and acquire video games these days, is it even possible to even complete all of the games you own? Join the Rather Be Playing podcast and follow Josh, Elliot, and Steve-O as they try to figure out that eternal question. Josh and Elliot have several years of gaming journalism between the two of them, and with Steve-O missing out on many classic games of yesteryear, the three of them attempt to deconstruct each game into what makes it fun or worth playing, and also manage to torment and humor each other along the way. Check them out at ratherbecast.com or find them on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Also returning this week is Video Blocks. I use them and you should too. Video Blocks is a subscription stock media service that allows people to download all stock video media they need for one low price. The cost is only $149 per year, and their service is targeted to the creative community. Graphic designers, freelancers, marketers, and small businesses. Again, I use them. You should too. Check them out at videoblocks.com/flipside. That's videoblocks.com/flipside. And let's get right to the show, guys. Thanks for joining me. There's been a lot of discussion in the Diesel Punk community lately, posed by my good buddy Eric Fisk, about what is Diesel Punk? And what is Diesel Punk to you or to me? And throughout the years, the Diesel Punk podcast has sought to address this question. And we've done several, Diesel Punk University, Diesel Punk 101 sessions and series on the show. And I think it's good to come back and re-examine that and answer that question every now and again. Because over the last six, almost 7 years now, the genre of Diesel Punk has really evolved. And I think changed from the original vision that Stanley Pollack had, or Nick Ottens, or Mr. Pycraft. Not saying that what they envisioned wasn't, cool and viable, but I think we've evolved past it a little bit. So let's back up and let's talk about, I'm going to define Diesel Punk for me. And let me preface this by saying that although this is not the universally accepted definition of the genre, there are a lot of people in the community who have really come around to my way of thinking on this, and it's growing more popular as the definition every day. So, first of all, let me say I am not the authority. I am not the king, the ruler, or the one who determines what is or isn't Diesel Punk. This is just what I think it is in my personal terms. And I preface that by saying there are a lot of people who agree. And if you agree, that's great. And if you disagree, well, then you're wrong. I'm just kidding. Not really. But, I'm not the authority, but I am one of the guys who over the last six, 7 years has been creating Diesel Punk content. Not just this podcast, but my live shows have always been diesel punk themed. Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens, you know, the Magic Cabaret, Extreme Vices, Swinging at the Roxy, all of my shows that I produce have a very diesel punk aesthetic. You know, it blends the music and the aesthetics of 1940s, 30s and 40s comic book culture with swing music and stories of gangsters and showgirls. And my book, Tales from the Flip Side, is about the further adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens in an alternate universe, 1930s, 40s Chicago. And so I'm one of the guys who is creating diesel punk content. So I don't say this to be braggadocious or arrogant, but I think those of us who are creating the genre and creating the content have a little bit more at stake, if you will, in helping define the genre. So for me, diesel punk is a celebration, a mashup, if you will, of the visual and style aesthetics of the 1920s, 30s, 40s, and 1950s, mashed up with contemporary technology or future technology, science fiction, and fantasy. You know, when we say the word punk, we're not really talking about the snot-nosed kid who, you know, needs a good swift paddling to the backside. We're talking about this kind of countercultural attitude, this push against contemporary mass media culture. And, you know, for me, that's a push against casual culture, against the t-shirt, cargo shorts, and flip-flops national uniform. I always like to dress rather nicely, usually a button-down shirt, slacks, even casual day, I'm wearing a button-down shirt and, you know, chinos, maybe tennis shoes, but, you know, never wearing shorts out in public. Tennis shoes, if I wear them, they're diesel-era Chuck Taylor Converse. Those, those were invented during the diesel era and became really popular in the 1920s. So those are the only tennis shoes I wear. And that's my push against pop culture. But that's the punk part for me. And my diesel punk has a healthy dose of science fiction, fantasy, or alternative history. Sometimes that takes the shape of alternative technology, like we see in the movie War of the Worlds Goliath, where they've created these giant mecha machines to battle the alien invaders. The video or the board game Scythe has the same aesthetic, these giant mechs. And if you don't know what a mech is or a mecha, think kind of along the lines of the walkers, the scout walkers in Star Wars, like in Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back. Very similar idea. And I dare say that those walkers were heavily influenced by the aesthetic of the diesel era and in turn have influenced the mechas in the diesel punk genre. A comic book, the Iron Guard, also has those giant mechs in World War II. So that's alternative technology or future tech. So let's kind of break this down. For me, there are three criteria for something to be diesel punk. It has to be contemporary in origin, which means that it was created since the end of the historical diesel era. For me, that's 1957. We'll talk about that in a minute. Why that is. Everything made before 1957 that has the diesel aesthetic is really period science fiction or period action adventure pulp noir movies like Casablanca, the Buck Rogers Flash Gordon serials, you know, the original Batman serials, the books and radio shows of the Phantom, Green Hornet, the Shadow, even the movie serials for the Phantom. Those are all source material, or what Larry Amiet likes to call proto-punk. So to actually be diesel punk, it has to have been made since the end of the historic era, 1957 forward. It has to have what we call decadence, which is the aesthetics, the style of the 20s, 30s, 40s, and into the 50s. So it's got to incorporate those style elements. Whether it's set in the period or not is irrelevant. Diesel punk can be set in the period and have those aesthetics, but it may not be diesel punk. It may be diesel era or diesel period, and not diesel punk, because to be punk, it's got to have one last element, and that is, you know, that counterculturalism, that disrespectable nature. And for me, that comes in the form of science fiction, fantasy, celebration of the anti-hero. And without that element of the quote-unquote punk, it's not diesel punk, it's diesel period. Which means that it's a good period film. It's a good, you know, it's set in the diesel era. Which, actually, let's talk about that timeline for a minute. The diesel punk timeline. I say 20s, 30s, and 40s, but really we're looking even back further than that. 1914, with the start of World War I, through 1957, with the launch of Sputnik. And a lot of people in the community previously have marked 1945 with the dropping of the atomic bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki as the end of the diesel era. And for a long time, I rejected that, and I've put forward that really it should be 1957 with Sputnik, because although the atomic bomb did mark a significant technological advance, culturally, we didn't see a real cultural shift in thinking, style, and an explosion in new information-based technology until the launch of Sputnik. And Sputnik started the space race and what I would consider the information age, or the cyber age, cyberpunk. I know a lot of people consider cyberpunk to be futuristic, and maybe at the time that it was first coined and created, it was, but we are living in that age now. So you can call it, you know, the space age or the cyber age, but it's technology and culture based on information. And that's where we are right now. Up to 1957, the culture and the technology, even though we had atomic energy by that time, our lives weren't centered around it. And that's where the real cultural shift comes. And that's where I make my claim that it's 1957. And when we see that shift in mindset to the space race and the information age, we see a change in fashion. We see a change in the military-industrial complex. We see a change in the entire punk movement, which becomes a real movement in the civil rights movement, in the women's rights movements, in, you know, the free love movements, you know, the hippie culture that was a real countercultural push against the military-industrial complex that was driven by that information age aesthetic. And so we see a complete mind shift at 1957 going into the 60s. So that's why I maintain that the diesel era ends at 1957. And when you think about this in terms of history, steampunk entails almost a 100-year period up until 1914, that Victorian Edwardian era. And there's some crossover between, you know, the turn of the century and the start of World War I that can hurdle, you know, kind of play both sides of the fence of steampunk or diesel punk. But really, when it comes to steampunk, we're talking about a 100-year period. For diesel punk, we're talking about less than, well, or approximately 40 years, a much shorter period of time historically. So we're looking at made since 1957, has the aesthetics of the era, 1914 to 1957, and it has science fiction, fantasy, alt history, alternate tech, or magic tech sometimes, like the occult, H.P. Lovecraft, Indiana Jones, think along those lines, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And it's got a countercultural attitude. And mostly that is a push against authoritarianism, against the national uniform of casual culture. And that for me, is what diesel punk is. Now, there are a lot of different ways for you guys to express this. I happen to be a lifestyler, which means that I incorporate diesel punk aesthetics in my everyday life. I wear diesel era or diesel inspired clothing. I don't necessarily wear the true vintage, but you don't have to wear true vintage because that's part of the punk. Again, there are no rules. Don't tell me what to do. There are some guidelines, but not rules. So I wear vintage inspired clothing or clothing that would have been anachronistically correct for the diesel era. Like I said, a button-down shirt and some chinos when I'm casual. When I'm on stage, I'm wearing, you know, very stylized zoot suit or, you know, gangster apparel, fedoras, flat caps, newsboy caps, etc. I don't go out of the house without a cap, a vintage style hat. And, the music I listen to is generally retro in origin, big band swing, electro swing, neo swing, whatever you want to call it, jazz, etc. The movies and the comic books that I read, the ones that I really enjoy the most are ones that have that visual aesthetic of the diesel era. Some of my favorite movies, and these are all diesel punk movies, Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow, the Indiana Jones collection, Captain America, First Avenger, The Rocketeer, those are The Phantom with Billy Zane. Those are movies I can watch over and over and over. And more recently, Wonder Woman was set in World War I. And meets all of the criteria. Fantastic Beasts, the 1920s New York, again, meets all of the criteria. Some other movies, Peter Jackson's King Kong, what a beautiful movie. Sucker Punch. And a lot of people have said, well, Sucker Punch has a lot of steampunk aesthetics. And it actually does in a couple of scenes. But the movie is set in the mid, we get the idea that it's set in the mid-50s. In this sanatorium. And so right off the bat, the setting has the visual aesthetics of the diesel era. But then there are these flashback scenes. It's a dream within a dream. And the first dream is that the girls are part of a 1940s style burlesque troupe. And it has all of the aesthetics of the vaudeville burlesque. And then the next level, the dream within that dream, is that, they are really in diesel era inspired, diesel punk inspired outfits. These women are soldiers, warriors, having this mashup of diesel era and different timelines. They fight zombies in World War I. They pilot a World War II bomber. there's all kinds of diesel punk aesthetics all throughout Sucker Punch. So I'm going to maintain that it is a diesel punk film. Dark City is another one. Not my favorite movie, but it's a good movie. Inglourious Basterds, Oh Brother Where Art Thou? Those are great examples of diesel punk movies. And some of you might be saying, well, Oh Brother Where Art Thou? How is that? Well, it's alt history to begin with, but it is a reimagining of Homer's Odyssey, the Greek myth, in contemporary setting. And so it's filled with mythology and fantasy. It's a really great movie, and it exemplifies the diesel era Appalachian lifestyle. So that's one of my favorites too, and just one of my all-time favorite movies. And actually, you know, the more I think about this, we talked a couple of weeks ago on the show about whether or not Back to the Future can be diesel punk. And I think, is it one of those movies that you hand someone and say, hey, this is diesel punk? No. But I think as you get into the genre, you start to realize, holy cow, all of the aesthetics throughout this movie, from Marty McFly's 1985 era wardrobe, which the 1980s were heavily influenced by the retro styles of the 40s and the 50s. So you see this diesel era aesthetic in the 80s naturally. But then the DeLorean is modeled after the science fiction spaceships of the diesel era, of the pulp and noir, or the pulp magazines and serials, Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon. And then they're going back to 1955. And 1955, you know, was, in my opinion, solidly part of the diesel era timeline. And So, Back to the Future. And the question comes to me all the time, well, John, what about Star Wars? Because I talk about Star Wars all the time. I think Star Wars is diesel punk. Again, is it one of those movies that you hand someone and say, hey, this is what diesel punk is? No. But just like Back to the Future, the longer you're part of the genre and immersed in the genre, the more you pick up on the fact that Star Wars is influenced by the serials, the movie serials of the 30s and the 40s. George Lucas has said in interviews all the time that that's where he took his inspiration from, Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon, Captain Midnight, that high adventure sci-fi movie serials. And it has those aesthetics, those visual aesthetics of that era. Especially in the prequel trilogy, the Art Deco, and for that matter, in the Clone Wars animated series, the Art Deco aesthetics are all over the Star Wars material, and all throughout. Further, we see, if we're going to go back to the origin of diesel punk and say, well, it's based off of diesel fuel, the way Pollock originally did and the way that Ottens and Pycraft did, then, you know, obviously we see diesel fuel, petroleum fuel in the Star Wars universe. R2-D2 uses it and sprays oil all over the floor, lights it on fire. There's a scene in A New Hope where the X-Wings are being fueled by something from a hose. Lucas has said, you know, it's petroleum. And the walkers that influenced the vision we have of, you know, the mechas today, the walkers from Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, are hydraulic, which have to be run by some kind of petroleum, diesel, fuel. You see the lubricant on the hydraulics. It's obviously a petroleum-based lubricant. So, you know, that is my opinion. Now, I mentioned the origins of the word diesel punk. We kind of skipped past this, so I'll backtrack just a little bit. Originally, you know, when Pollock coined the phrase diesel punk to talk about his role-playing game, Children of the Sun, he said it's like steampunk, but with diesel fuel, so I guess it would be diesel punk. The idea is that steampunk is centered around the technology of steam. And originally, the idea for diesel punk was that it's called diesel punk because it's centered around the technology of diesel fuel. And that may have had the origins, but over the years, it's really evolved. And now it's not so much about the fuel. It's about the aesthetics and about the culture. And I think that's really the big difference between steampunk versus diesel punk, is that steampunk is about the technology. If you imagine that technology stopped progressing in 1912 or 1914, for that matter, with the development of the steam engine, and they never developed, you know, diesel fuel or petroleum, and everything progressed technologically or stopped technologically from that moment. And you know, yes, there are planes and there are starships in some steampunk universes, but it's all run off of steam power. And so the technology stopped and never advanced. Well, in the diesel punk aesthetic, in the diesel punk genre, although we kind of founded the genre off of diesel fuel, it's the technology continues to evolve. It's the style that froze. It's the aesthetics and the style and the culture that froze with the diesel era. Technology kept advancing, but stylistically, they maintain that original aesthetic. And I think that that's the main difference between steampunk and diesel punk. And for that matter, cyberpunk or infopunk or spacepunk. Let me address one last thing, and then I'll let you go. And you guys can email your comments at feedback@dieselpunkpodcast.com. Or like my Facebook page, Big Daddy Cool Shows, and post a comment there. But let's talk about this subgenre of atomic punk. And I would say it's similar to the subgenre of deco punk. If I had had my way, I would have called diesel punk deco punk. And that's really how I found it. You know, I was sitting around with some of the Bombshell Kittens. We were at an audition, and someone says, "Have you ever thought about steampunk, doing steampunk?" I was like, "Yeah, it's, you know, it's kind of cool, but it's just not my, it's not my thing." And I asked the question, "What is there for people like us? Is there such a thing as, you know, noir punk or deco punk?" And so I started doing a search for those terms, and it led me to diesel punk. That was the established term. There was already an established community at dieselpunks.org, and so that's what stuck. But if I were to do it all over again, if I were to be the one to coin the phrase, I would call it deco punk. That's me. And so deco punk has become recognized kind of as a subgenre within the diesel punk aesthetic, because diesel punk entails, you know, the era entails prohibition, World War One, World War Two, you know, the flappers and gangsters. It's got the Dust Bowl, Appalachian moonshiners, you know, the 1950s hot rod culture, and, you know, the rise of rock and roll. And that those things all fall under the umbrella. And so some people can get a little bit confused because you can't point at one thing and say that is diesel punk. Because it could be all of those things, and it could be a mashup of any one of those things. Big Daddy Cool is kind of a mashup of the 1940s and 50s with contemporary culture. I wear a lot of contemporary jewelry. I do things as that character that the character historically would not have done or worn. So deco punk has kind of become a subgenre of diesel punk that stresses the Art Deco aesthetics and style. And kind of doesn't encapsulate the War Machine style of diesel punk. But it is a subgenre. All deco punk is diesel punk, but not all diesel punk is deco punk. And Eric Fisk, I think, said it best. Diesel punk is the way we fight the wars. Deco punk is the reason we fight the wars. It's the lifestyle we want to come home to after the war is won. I like that. So there's been this kind of establishment of this subgenre of atomic punk or ray gun gothic, which is the science fiction aesthetic of the diesel era through the 1950s. And a lot of people kind of narrow that down to 1950 or 1945 to 1960 as the atomic era, the atomic punk era, or 1945 is the start of the atomic era. But if you adhere to my theory that 1957 starts the cyber or info age, the space age, then that atomic era is really less than a decade. Well, no, about 15 years. And that's too short for an era. That's too short for a historical era. And for me, it just doesn't work as its own separate genre, because so much of what people point to as atomic punk is actually the science fiction aesthetics or science fiction art and style based off the diesel era science fiction. So what you got to look at the source material. And that's why I believe all atom punk or atomic punk is diesel punk, but not all diesel punk is atomic punk. Does that make sense? So I think you got these bookends in the diesel punk aesthetic. You've got at one end the deco aesthetic and at the other end the atomic aesthetic. And in between is the diesel, quote unquote, aesthetic of the Great Wars, of World War II, I would say. And you know, those are the two bookends, but they're subgenres of the entire series, if you will. I hope that makes sense. I don't have this written down, so I'm just talking off the cuff, you know, off the top of my head. But that, for me, is what I think diesel punk is. And, there are a lot of different ways to express it. You can be a lifestyler like me. You can just be into diesel punk board games. There are plenty of them out there. I do a weekly show now on Diesel Punk Game Night on YouTube. You can check those out. You can be into diesel punk video games and role-playing games. You can just be into diesel punk movies, like some that I mentioned, or diesel punk comics. Maybe you're just a comic book fan and you like the diesel punk aesthetic. There's a lot out there for you. Half Past Danger is out on shelves right now. The Shadow, the Phantom series, Rocketeer. Moonshine is a fantastic series. A few years ago, there was a series called Turf, which is phenomenal. Trigger Man, I just finished that. That was a great series. Madam Frankenstein, Hellboy, Lobster Johnson. I could go on and on and on. Terminal City, Mr. X. What else? Ignition City. Just there's a lot out there. There's a lot of diesel punk comics, and it's one of the most popular aesthetics in diesel punk or in comics, to do the diesel punk aesthetic. And more and more people are starting to label their comics diesel punk, which is always awesome. So that is my crash course, my 30-minute series on diesel punk 101. If you were to hear me talk about this at a Comic-Con or a convention, it would be a little bit longer, and I'd demonstrate some performance pieces for you. Like I might sing Mac the Knife or Minnie the Moocher or Royals a la postmodern jukebox. We could never be royals. It don't run in our blood. This lux just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Anyway, this ain't the music hour. This is the Diesel Punk hour. And actually, it's not even a full hour. It's going to end up being about 40 minutes. And I appreciate you tuning in and listening. Again, I would love to get your feedback. I would love to hear what you think about my view and definition of what is Diesel Punk. You can send me an email at two different ways, feedback at dieselpunkpodcast or bigdaddycool at bigdaddycoolshows.com. Check out bigdaddycoolshows.com to connect with me personally. You can connect with me through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or Pinterest, all linked at bigdaddycoolshows.com. You can watch my videos at youtube.com/bigdaddycoolshows. And if you'd like to support the live shows, the podcasts, and the video casts, you can do that at patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows.com. We ask that you contribute $1, $2, maybe $5 a month, tops. Become a subscriber, become an investor, and that helps us bring more great Diesel Punk content your way, not just here on the Diesel Punk podcast, but also on YouTube and on Facebook and at live shows, conventions, and events near you all around the country. That's patreon.com/bigdaddycoolshows. And of course, you can find more episodes of the Diesel Punk podcast at dieselpunkpodcast.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, wherever you consume and download your audio content. We want to thank our sponsors this week, Comic Bento. Get a mystery box of comics and graphic novels in your mailbox every month. Check them out at Comic Bento, at mycomicbento.com. That's www.mycomicbento.com. And Magic Subscription Box. They deliver a magic shop in your mailbox every month, and you can get 50% off your first order if you go to magicsubscriptionbox.com, use my promo code BDCMagic, that's BDC as in Big Daddy Cool, BDCMagic at magicsubscriptionbox.com. And thanks one more time to Rather Be Playing. You can check them out at ratherbecast.com. And of course, Video Blocks, check them out at videoblocks.com/flipside. Well, guys and gals, that is it for this week. I hope you've enjoyed our program and my dissertation on Diesel Punk 101. Let us know what you think. Drop us a line, post a comment, share this episode with all of your friends. And until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.